welcome to Heavenly Manna with Milton Harris. Today we want to look into Psalms 139. We're going to read a few verses here at the beginning and may deal with other verses as well. But Psalms 139, beginning with verse number 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? We're going to stop reading right there, correctly read from Psalms 139, verses 1 through 7. Heavenly Father, we ask You now, Lord, to take and bless the reading of Your Word. Give us the words now for a few minutes that need to be spoke. And Lord, I pray whatever I say, Lord, will bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious holy name we do pray. Amen. We want to share this thought, our awesome God. And we do serve a wonderful, mighty, awesome Lord, do we not? And just a few things right quick. Let me say this. First of all, we see the greatness of God. Let me begin by saying, our awesome and wonderful God, He is omniscient. He has all knowledge and He knows everything. There's not anything about us that He does not know. In these first six verses, we see that here as the psalmist says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. And we see it is personal. It's personal. This is a psalm of David, and David is saying, Lord, you know me. I'm going to say this, the Lord knows me, and the Lord knows you as well. He has all knowledge. You see in verse number 2, He knows all of our meditations. He said that, I've noticed Thy down sitting, not uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off, my thoughts. The Lord knows the thoughts that we have, whether they're toward Him or toward the things of this world. He knows our meditation. He knows our motives. Look again at there in 2 and 3. And in verse 3, He said, Thou compasseth my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. He knows our movements. He knows all about our movements. And then He knows all about our motives. Again, there's verses 3 and 4. He said, and then verse 4, He says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. You know, the Lord noticed our motives for we're saying something to help someone, to have compassion, to encourage, or whether we're doing something to put someone down. He knows our motives when we do something, whether we're doing it for His honor or for His glory, or whether we're doing it for self-recognition. The Lord knows. He knows our motives. I've said often that I believe I'm going to lose rewards because I did the right thing, but I did it with the motive because I knew it was the right thing, and I wasn't doing it because I loved the Lord and wanted to honor and glorify Him. I did it just because it was the right thing. Well, I'm telling you, our motive ought to be because we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to bring honor and glory to Him. He knows our motives. He knows our misery. Aren't you glad of that? He knows Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I'm going to tell you what, the Lord knows all about us. And when we're going through a time, a miserable time, a time of heartache, a time of sadness, a time of sorrow, our Heavenly Father knows. Our Savior knows. The Holy Spirit knows. and they're there to intercede and to help us through those times of misery. Hey, listen to this. The Lord knows our measure. He knows the measures of our day. Job made mention of that. He said, a man is born of a woman a few days and full of trouble. But he went on to say, I know my Redeemer liveth. I remember David, he's going to ask the Lord, how was he going to wind it up? And he stopped and he said, but Lord, I want you to know my hope is all in thee. And we have a measure of days, and the Lord knows that. He knows how long my days are. He knows how long your days are. He is omniscient. He has all knowledge, and he knows everything. But then if we look in verses 7 through 12, we see here the Lord is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Beginning, we read it, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Talking about under the ground. He said, if I take, or the grave. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So the Lord is omnipresent. He is everywhere. In verse number 7, he said, no matter the distance, he is there. Could send up as far as we can, and our send down as all we can. He is there. There don't matter the directions, whether we're going up or down, east or west. It don't matter. Verse number 8. And then, no matter the dwelling place, verse number 9, he is there. And so the Lord is omnipresent. Let me say, the Lord is with you. Isn't it wonderful to know it as a born-again child of God, that the Holy Spirit has took up his abode in our heart, in our soul, in our life, and no matter where we go, the Lord is there. And he's able to touch. He's able to lead. He's able to guide. He's able to comfort. He's able to strengthen. He's able to give us whatever we need whenever we need it. No matter where we're at, no matter where we're at in life, as a child, an adolescent, a teenager, there, a young adult, middle-aged adult, a senior adult, no matter what, I'm glad the Lord is there. He's with us no matter the time, no matter the place, the Lord is there. So we see the greatness of God. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. But let me say thirdly here, he is omnipotent. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. And let me say this, not only that, he has all power. Look with me as we begin in verses 13. He said, for thy has possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and courteously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts upon me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Oh, my goodness, what a mighty, wonderful God we have. We see the greatness of God. He is all-powerful. In verse 14 here, he has the power to produce creation. He created this world, everything in this world. But folks, he created you and I. He created us. He created us. We are his creation. And I'm going to tell you what, God does not make a mistake in the creation. He has the power to produce all creation. He has the power to provide for his creation, as the psalmist said here, how the Lord knows his substance and how him being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. Oh my goodness, how precious also are thy thoughts upon me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Oh, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. I want to tell you what an awesome God we have. We see the greatness of God here in verse 139. But for just a moment, I want to turn back to Psalm 107. If I've got a little bit of time here, I want to share something else about our wonderful and awesome God. Psalms 107. It begins with, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wander into wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. When they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Let me say here, first, the second thought is this: the greatness of God, then the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The psalmist says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness," in verse number 8. But then look again in verse number 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." Then look again in verse 21. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." And again, we look down in verse, I believe it is 31. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." We see the goodness of God. Our awesome God is a good God. He's good to us and giving his blessings. He's good to us and giving his benefits. But most of all, he's good to us because he gave his only begotten Son, that you and I could be born again and we could be saved. Praise his holy name for his goodness. And that leads us to the third thing. Listen, he's an awesome God, not only because he's a great God, not only because he's a good God, but thank God for the grace of God that he gives. He gives us the grace for you and I can be saved. He's the grace of God. That grace of God is personal. He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm glad to be a whosoever today. Oh, the grace of God is plentiful. James said he giveth more grace. And then Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And I'm going to say, I'm so thankful God's grace is personal. I'm so glad God's grace is plentiful. But God's grace is powerful. It's powerful enough to save us. It's powerful enough to sustain us. And it's powerful enough to seal us with his Holy Spirit, that great comforter. Well, I'm out of time, dear listener. I hope this message will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. And may the Lord bless, is our prayer.